with my sister, my daughter, Tati. As a woman, as a mother, and as someone who has survived the criminal justice system and still surviving the after effects and will be for the rest of my life. It's painful, you know? They took my kids, so I know the unspeakable pain of being separated from your children, and I know there's a reason why it happened. I don't even really know what I'm saying right now, I'm just like coming from my heart, but I know there's a lot of you, a lot of us, and a lot of us for generations back that have been separated from our children and our communities have been destroyed. But we're here. I'm speaking about tax dollars, right? Shifting. We need to make like a major shift, right? Because this is we're at war with a criminally insane system. It's criminally insane what they're doing. What we're allowing to happen in this country. And finally, there's a movement and we're ready to stand up. And you know what? You guys need, the 99% needs the 1% of those who suffered the criminal justice system, right? Because we have resilience. We have to ask ourselves, if we're looking at tax dollars and where they should go, where is power? What is real power? I had to ask that myself. When they took everything away from me, my children, money, I didn't have any. And I'd survived a 15-year relationship in which I was controlled and physically abused, went through a little bit of that. So to even stand here today in front of people brings a lot of freaking fear just in my being. And to stand here with Tati, she could be my daughter. I haven't seen my kids in 10 years. Six. I have six kids. And it's been a freaking decade. But I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand because I know what it's meant to stand all these years. I know what it's meant to look other women in the eye, survivors of abuse, that are given life sentences, which I could have had, but by the fact that I did have access to money, which does have some power, my family was able to hire private attorneys. Otherwise, if I'd had public defender and didn't have that access to privilege, I wouldn't be here. I'd be serving the life sentence. But that still wouldn't be my power. So, I'd like Tati to say a few words about youth in prison.
I know that my grandma's not here today, but she was one of those people that was abused. And without her, I don't know where I would be. And I wouldn't be up here standing with you guys or with my comrades, you know, my peoples out there that have pushed me to this point. I never thought in a million years I would be here. But just to speak a little bit on youth justice and all these youth I see out here. And I'm so happy because I feel like all the support I'm getting from my elders and these younger people and their kids, we need this, you know, we need each other. And it's important that we need to watch out for our youth because it's dangerous out here. And anywhere I go, I live in Berkeley, anywhere I go, I'm harassed. You know, I could go to parties, try to have fun at the frats, I get pulled over. You know, while I'm watching all these drunk kids walk by. And I'm being harassed by the police because I'm a person of color. And education, we need to educate our youth about their rights because a lot of them don't know that they have the right to say no, that they have the right to silence, that they have the right not to talk to the police, that they have the right to stand 10 feet away so they can make sure that their friends don't get harassed. And I get a little emotional when I say this because the time that I spent in solitary confinement, 2 weeks, no sun, no apples, I wasn't getting my vitamins that I needed, And I came out, I felt like an animal. You know, I was told I was nothing and I believed it. And I didn't know the power that I had until I got out. And I spoke my story. And young women and young men, they were like, wow, you know, even that you're saying this, it means something to me. And it brought back a little bit of that power that I had. And I can say today, when I walked out of there, I lost my fear. Because I saw exactly what it is that we face. And I knew then that I had to let go of my fear. Because if I stay afraid, then I'll never fight back. And I just want to say to the youth, we have to fight back. We hold the power. All of our elders out here, they're doing this for us. And the people before them that did it for us. And none of this can die in vain. We all have to fight for our rights. Because if we don't, and ensure that our future generations actually have the choice what type of programs they'll have when they're in juvenile hall or prison. What, can I get my letter? Can I actually have the right to have food? Can I have the right to see the sun when I'm in here? Talk to somebody else and hear their voice laugh. Because all people do is cry in there and scream. So we have to keep the spirit alive. I don't want none of these youth out here to not take the power that they have. We need to take it back. Take it back from the government, take it back from the police, you know, our so-called mayors and policymakers who say that they care about us when they really don't, because I don't see many of them out here today. I don't see anybody, I don't see the mayor, I don't see the president, I don't see anybody out here with us, you know? This war on drugs and this war on poverty has to stop. It has to stop because it's filling our prisons and our juvenile halls with poor people and people of color, and it has to stop. So I'm gonna stop, and I'm gonna say thank you for letting me be up here and speak, and that's it.